In his last words, Christ tells us we are to be his witnesses in our communities, in our cities, in our nations, and to the ends of the earth. This is the Acts 1:8 Challenge. Accept this challenge today, and your church can become part of this worldwide mission. You're listening to the Acts 1:8 Challenge podcast.
This is Tim Yarbrough with the Acts 1:8 Challenge. I have with me here today Van Sanders. Van Sanders is consultant for people groups and strategic planning with the Church Planning Group of the North American Mission Board. How are you today, Van?
Tim, I'm great, and I'm glad to be here with you.
Van, as we look at the North American landscape, you know, the continent that we live on, it's really become a very diverse culture out there, a great multiplicity of ethnic peoples, and the construct is very different than what even our grandparents experienced.
Right.
And you've been studying that, haven't you?
I have.
And tell us a little bit about what the North American people spectrum is all about.
Well, Tim, I'd say, you know, I think it's important to accentuate what you said earlier, and that is the cultures in North America. It's plural cultures,
mm-hmm.
not just one culture. I mean, we think
Absolutely.
Of one culture, but when you really get out into different locations in Canada as well as the United States, you'll find where different kinds of people are more highly concentrated, and so you have a variety of cultures in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about church planning in North America, we have to take into consideration that you have various cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's an axiom almost that when you think about church planning among a group of people, it will obviously be different as you change that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm planning a church among middle-class Anglo people, and then right down the road I want to start a church among Somalis,
mm-hmm.
first-generation immigrant Somalis from Somalia, well, I'm going to have to change the way I do things.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes what I've seen over the years here as I've studied North America is we have a tendency, all of us Christians have a tendency to overlook these differences. And we have all these different peoples living around us, but we tend to think we can reach them all the same way.
Yeah, we kind of put them all in one group, don't we?
We really do. And that's why I've come up with this North American people spectrum,
mm-hmm.
to try to help myself as well as others and all across the continent to intentionally look at the different groups of people living in their community.
Mm-hmm. So they could really understand that landscape, that mosaic that God has laid out before us.
Right.
Van has been active with the Acts 1:8 Challenge in that he has attended some of our events that have been held in churches and associations, and he has articulated this understanding of the North American people spectrum and help, for one, given me a better understanding of what it's all about, and we are now including it in some of our teaching aspects at the Acts 1:8 Challenge conferences. What we're going to try to do with this, Van, I know you were telling me earlier that you're going to walk through this and try to give everybody an understanding of what this is about, but you also at the same time said, you know, you almost have to have a picture of it in front of you to kind of begin to kind of break it down and unpack it. So what we're going to do is you're going to provide this to us, and we're going to make this graphic available at acts18.com for download, okay, probably under resources or somewhere like that, as well as I believe it was also included in an article in On Mission Magazine back in the summer of 2009. That article has been linked through the Acts 1:8 Challenge podcast, which is available at acts18.com, Acts 1:8 Challenge blog, which is available through acts18.com,
mm-hmm.
as well. So if you want to kind of walk us through this, and we'll kind of hopefully begin to get an understanding of what this is all about.
Sure. And, you know, I think it's important to emphasize the spectrum aspect of the North American people.
Yeah, what do you mean by spectrum? Tell us what you mean
by
spectrum.
Well, by spectrum, it's that there are overlapping categories here. So you notice on this graph there are three main categories at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Kinship groups, geographic groups, and association groups.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just looking at that firsthand or first glance, you think those are three discrete categories and they never touch each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But in reality, they overlap.
Mm-hmm. Is that so, why it has the arrow
going
back
arrow
and forth there?
On both directions. And what that seeks to imply is these groups are not black and white divisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, like kinship groups, the reason we've categorized certain parts of our population with kinship groups is because an individual in a kinship group will, by and large, or generally speaking,
mm-hmm.
identify themselves by saying, I am a part of a larger group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm related. Who I am is related to a larger group.
Yeah, give us an example of what you mean by that.
Well, like, for instance, when you're with the talking to a Somali person.
Somali person.
Mm-hmm. Or any really non-Western first-generation
yeah.
immigrant person.
Yeah.
And you talk to them and you say, tell me, who are you? Well, they will say, I am of such and such people from such and such country. Somalian might say, I'm from such and such clan.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was in this role back in my hometown or
mm-hmm.
home village. And what that person is saying is my identity is based on my relationship to my extended family
mm-hmm.
and even maybe a larger people group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you go over to the far right of the spectrum, which is called association groups, then individual self-identity there is usually based upon what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if you ask me, Tim, who are you, Van? Well, my typical response will be, I work at the North American Mission Board, and I work at helping identify people groups and designing strategies for reaching them.
Mm-hmm. And that's what most Americans are like there.
Yeah, most Americans are like mm-hmm. that. Now, I don't go into talking about I am from such and such tribe or people group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say I'm from such and such extended family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even go into where I'm from, where I was born.
Yeah.
That's really not important. And one of the reasons we want to get at this type of understanding of our communities is because people on the kinship side are going to be evangelized differently than people on the association group side.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, let me say it this way. If something good happens to me, the first person I'll tell is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll probably tell my workers, my colleagues where I work, because they're my closest network of friends. Then, if I remember it long enough, I'll tell people at church, my friends at church, not everybody at church, but just my
yeah.
friends at church.
Yeah.
And then maybe if it's really something big and I remember it a long time, I'll tell my extended family, my relatives, at Christmas or Thanksgiving when I see them. In other words, it doesn't matter to me that my extended family knows all these things. And that's such a contrast, because on the kinship group side, if something good happens
opposite,
to a person,
yeah.
they are going to tell their extended family.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about geographic groups. I know just to kind of give everybody an idea of what we're looking at here, and hopefully you'll go down and you'll go online and download this, take a look at it. But it says kinship groups, geographic groups, and association groups up at the top. And underneath kinship groups, it says my people. Underneath geographic groups, it says my place. And underneath association groups, it says my interest. So let's talk a little bit about geographic groups, the one in the middle.
Well, you know, I don't know if I've said this already, but one of the designs for this is to help us think intentionally about mapping the community.
Yes.
In order to saturate the community with the gospel. So we have a resource called people search that allows us to quickly gather some data on kinship groups and quickly gather some data on association groups.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to happen when you do that, you're still going to have certain areas of the community that are not addressed. So with geographic groups, we allow for identifying places in the community that stand out to you. Most places, most cities or communities will have an area, a community that is of some sort of special characteristic. You may have a drug area.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a booming industry area. You may have an arts community area. You can have a variety of things. So a lot of times what people do is they will say, do we have a church in Little Five Points, if you were in Atlanta? And anybody that's from Atlanta, when they hear Little Five Points, will know immediately that's a very eclectic community.
Yeah. And for those not familiar with Atlanta, you may recall in the 60s and 70s of an area called Haight-Ashbury, I think in San Francisco. So that kind of gives you an idea, a very, like you said, eclectic area.
Yeah, and like when I was
city.
Mm-hmm. Where I grew up, it was a small town.
Yeah.
But we had, like when I was living in the valley and we were surrounded by mountains, when we mentioned a community up on the mountains, we didn't know the people there, but we had an image of who lived there, and they were rich.
Yeah.
When we said Alton Park in Chattanooga, we knew that was a certain kind of people.
Yeah. We all have areas like that where we live, most
so
of us. Yeah.
This is real important, Tim, because we don't want to emphasize that this is a rigid, these are rigid categories that do not overlap.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because what we're trying to do is say, if Jesus said, make disciples of all ethne,
mm-hmm.
peoples,
mm-hmm.
then we've got to be about identifying those places and peoples in our community where the gospel is not being preached mm-hmm. and planted.
Mm-hmm. And the pastors and other mission leaders that may be listening to this podcast, that's the reason why we wanted to focus today on the North American people spectrum and talk with Van Sanders. Because so often as we begin to embrace the Acts 1-8 challenge and attempt to be more proactive and intentional in fulfilling the Great Commission, and we begin to kind of survey the landscape, and we kind of begin to look more succinctly at our community, our Jerusalem, and we're thinking about how that may even go beyond that into the region, into our state, into our Judea, and then as we think even broader, into our Samaria, out into our continent, and of course across the world. There's some interesting dynamics here, because there are places, many places now in the United States and beyond, where you can literally engage a group in your community that you could eventually have a connection beyond your community into your Judea or your Samaria or even to the ends of the earth.
Exactly, and I mean that's why we ought to be excited about the opportunities we have for accomplishing the Great Commission
mm-hmm.
globally while doing it locally. And, you know, I think that what you're also pointing out here is you notice the two categories under kinship groups and association groups called people group
yes.
and mm-hmm. affinity group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people group is a concept that was developed, and I learned about it while I was a missionary overseas in Kenya. And people group concept helps us focus on a group of people who is homogeneous in terms of their worldview, culture, and language. And when you start a church, plant a church among a people group that's homogeneous like that,
mm-hmm.
you can expect that a church planting movement to maybe occur there because they are homogeneous in their worldview. And not only are they homogeneous in their worldview, intergenerationally, grandma, mom, sons, daughters, grandsons, granddad, they all have that same worldview, culture, and language.
Yeah.
So you can expect intergenerational church planting to occur.
That kind of sounds like a New Testament pattern.
It is, and what's significant is that in many places around the world, you can go to a place and there'll be one people group living there. And you can find that some here in the United States and Canada. But we're challenged additionally in North America by the fact that there's so much diversity and there's so much mixing and assimilation going on.
We really are a melting pot.
We are melting, but we're becoming something totally new. And therefore, on the association group side, we've got this category called affinity group. And by affinity group, we mean a group of people who are grouping themselves because they have the same interest or occupation. For instance, bikers can be an affinity group, cowboys, gangs, drug dealers.
Mm-hmm.
The list is endless. But the point is that these affinity groups are all around us, and that is where we, if we take the Great Commission seriously for making disciples, we can enter those affinity groups,
mm-hmm.
build relationships, and disciple that whole group. That's important.
Yeah, let me just ask a question. I may reveal my ignorance here with this, but like we live here in Alpharetta, Georgia, and we have a measure of high-tech industry that's located in this particular area of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people from a lot of different ethnic backgrounds that come to work here in the high-tech industry. Some are Indian,
right.
some are Caucasian, some are of African-American descent, but not necessarily, some are from Africa,
Right.
Is this also what you're talking about when they all have that commonality of some type of affinity?
Exactly.
Because
it's a great point. If you had the spectrum in front of you, you would see, or as you look at it, Tim,
mm-hmm.
you'd see how an immigrant coming from a non-Western country comes into the country totally unaware, maybe, of our culture. But over time, they begin to adapt portions of our culture. And the students that you mentioned coming in,
yes.
who already speak English,
mm-hmm.
who already are well educated in many aspects of technology, they don't have that long assimilation period.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually come and form an affinity based on their work with other American citizens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. Those are, I guess you could call them something like multinational affinities.
Yeah.
And until the churches recognize those as kind of unique groups that you can kind of formulate a strategy for reaching them based on that uniqueness mm-hmm. in their affinity, we're going to miss some great opportunities to spread the gospel to them as well as through them around the world.
Well, now, let's talk a little bit about the importance of this concept to the local church, okay? We have a lot of pastors that listen to this podcast, and what they want from, I think what they want from the information that comes from this is, okay, well, this is all fine, well, and good, but how do I take this, and how do I apply this to my situation? How do I reach out to my community in such a way where I'm making disciples and assimilating them into the body of my church? Or are you thinking that I need to be a part of a church planting movement in my area? Tell us a little bit about how they can bring this down to their level.
That's a great question, and I think it's a key. One thing we always emphasize with this spectrum and the people search resource is the answer is not in the spectrum, and it's not in the people search resource. It's in God working through you.
Amen. Yeah.
But one of our challenges in allowing God to work through us is, do we see the peoples living around us? A lot of times we don't make an intentional effort, therefore they're hidden from
mm-hmm.
us. So from a local church perspective, this is simply a tool to help a church get a handle, an intentional handle, if you will,
mm-hmm.
on, hey, what is my Great Commission field right here in my Jerusalem? And when you combine the people spectrum with people search, and people search is basically a resource that gives some guidance on how to go and find these different groups.
Later you can tell us how pastors can access that, okay?
Okay. When you combine those, your people, if they're not already aware, will become aware, and they'll be excited about the opportunities they have for discipling the different peoples in their community. And Tim, I like that you mentioned, you know, some of these people, some of these groups, we can win them and bring them into our church because they're already similar to us in terms of language, lifestyle, worldview, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to find groups of people out there in our communities who are so different from us, they will never fit into our church, even as saved people.
Yeah.
So the best way to disciple them is to go out where they are and win them and their friends and let them start a new church that will reflect God's transformation power in their culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot. I know I've said a lot there, but I think more and more the local church in the United States and Canada has to think more along missionary lines.
Yeah.
We've got to be more missional. A lot of times, people
we hear a lot about that.
That's kind of a new word, missional. And you know, basically, missional means let's don't just wait here in our church till people come to us.
Open the doors and let them pile in.
Yeah, you know, they're all going to be attracted to us.
Yeah.
But instead, let's take the Great Commission and go out where the people are and disciple them on their turf, not ours.
Yeah, one of the things that you've mentioned to me as we've worked together is you've said that it's important to plant the gospel contextually, okay? And I assume that's kind of what you were referring to earlier. And we see, I don't want to miss this, we see New Testament patterns. This is not just something you and other colleagues here at North American Mission Board have kind of dreamt up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the biblical context and the biblical basis of what you've laid out here.
Well, I think you've got to start with the incarnation. And when you look at how Jesus Christ was incarnated into one particular culture, Hebrew culture, learned Hebrew, spoke Hebrew, did all the customs.
He was indigenous.
Of Hebrew. He was indigenous, totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, he knew exactly what that culture was and how to communicate effectively in it. And, you know, I would hasten to add here, effective communication does not guarantee success in terms of numerical growth all the time, because Jesus did communicate effectively and people did follow him.
Arguably the greatest communicator who ever walked the earth.
but some of the others said, "We understand you so well, we're going to crucify you.
Yeah, in fact, you threaten us."
Yeah, exactly. So the goal in contextualization is to so well communicate the gospel and the Christian total message of the Bible that people understand it and can say, "Yes, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior," or "No, I do not," and they seal their eternal commitment right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's the goal of contextualization. Yeah. So you got to be careful when you go to a group not like yourself to not make the assumption that how you do church is how it should be done among them.
Well, now, did Jesus himself, did he model this for us?
Oh,
in his ministry?
Definitely. I mean, just look at how he witnessed. He never, I can't say never because I wasn't there, but in the recorded stories we have, he always took each individual.
Met them where they were.
Met them where they were. And we tend to want to just not take the time to listen to people where they are, get involved in their life, have a relationship with them, so that we journey with them, explaining what the gospel means for them in their context.
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge for us.
Yeah, Yeah, and you know, it wasn't just Jesus either. I mean, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, for instance.
Yeah,
he kind of met him where he was.
He did.
Yeah,
and Paul and all of those guys. You see, they weren't experts. They weren't perfect.
Yeah,
but they saw the pattern in Jesus, and they had to learn how to live that same pattern, follow that same way, and they had the power of the Holy Spirit to guide them.
Yeah.
And we do too.
I think we've lost some of that flavor in our Christian ministry and outreach. In that, I like the example of Philip because it literally was along the road, along the pathway.
That's good.
You know, and you know, in the context of Jesus, we return to example him. I know you use an example that you pointed out in the magazine article about the woman at the well.
Right.
And the Samaritan woman. Tell us about that.
Well, the woman at the well was obviously not your model citizen. But Jesus even, you know, had to break cultural norms to spend time with her.
Mm-hmm. And he was criticized for that.
He was criticized, and I think that's a word we ought to take to heart, because some of the groups of people we need to win to Christ today in our society, we're going to be criticized for by being associated with them.
Yeah.
But Jesus did it anyway, and he not only did he win the woman to himself, but he also modeled for his disciples how they have to do the same thing with different groups of people. But most importantly, I think you saw how the Samaritan woman was so touched by Christ that she had to tell that good news. Mm-hmm. She wanted to reproduce in others what she experienced with Christ herself. So she went back to her village, and she began to tell others she met Jesus Christ, and he knew everything about me, and he changed me. And that's what it's all about. For us as believers in a local church, to have the love of Christ for a woman or a man trapped in sin and see the power of God change them so that they want to go tell others.
That's
what we need to transform this country.
Unfortunately, we don't see that a whole lot anymore.
No, we don't.
Not here, anyway.
And I found that, going back to this spectrum, basically not the spectrum, but more foundational, if you get out and talk with... If we can get out and talk with people that are different from us, God opens our eyes and gives us compassion. You know, it says in Matthew 9 how Jesus went out and he was teaching in the villages and the synagogues.
Yeah.
And he was out walking from village to village. And he said when he saw the multitudes, he felt compassion for them. I just believe we're not going to have that compassion that we need to reach this country until we make ourselves go out and be with people who are different from us. Not in our church buildings, but out in the streets, out where they live.
Yeah, but that we're going to face rejection. We're going to face some of those same things that we talked about that Jesus faced when we do that. And you know, I'm only going to speak for my church, okay, or for my experience, but... You know, the churches that I've been a member of over the years, it seems like we're always reaching people like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't look a whole lot beyond people that kind of look like us, dress like us, are people of the same socioeconomic level that we are. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of churches are, isn't it?
It really is. And we, I think we have to make ourselves break out of that comfort zone. I know, as I've experienced in my life, the more you're in an area you're comfortable in, the more difficult it is to break out of it.
Yeah.
And the more settled we become in our Christian faith and our church, the more I think we're tempted to say, you know, reaching out to that group of people down the road or downtown that I know don't know the Lord, I'm not ready. I'm too old for that.
Yeah,
or I'm not trained enough for that. And I think that's a matter of the heart. And I think we have to come before the Lord in prayer and in the Word and ask Him to give us.
Yeah, and seek that guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Seek Him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then take a baby step and go out and talk to some of those
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do that, I think we're going to just be a static, in our, not ecstatic, but mm-hmm. static
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
our faith.
Yeah.
And we're going to become very untasty.
Yeah.
To those around us.
Yeah.
They're going to wonder. They're going to wonder, what is this
yeah.
Christian?
They're not going to want what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're coming toward the end of our time with Van today, but what we're going to do is we're going to have part two of this discussion of North American People Spectrum, and we're going to get kind of under the hood and help pastors and other missions leaders that are listening to this podcast understand the different tools and how to use those tools as they look to reach out to their community and beyond. And Van, before we do that, if you could maybe just real briefly tell us what those tools are. You've already mentioned a few, but tell us what a pastor can look to having available to him as he begins to kind of begin to look at doing what we're talking about here.
Okay, we basically have three things we're developing. One is peoplegroups.info. That's a website that will allow you to get quickly some data on the different nationalities, languages, and economic groups in your community.
Okay.
Second is People Search, which is a tool that will help you equip your church members to begin to systematically go out and do surveys in your community to identify these groups of people and to find persons of peace that you can win to Christ mm-hmm. and then disciple others through them.
I mean, we're looking at finding persons of peace in North America just like we talk about persons of peace over there.
Exactly.
I think it
still happens.
I think it does, yes.
I think
okay.
the Bible applies to North
yeah.
America
yeah.
like anywhere else
yeah.
in the world. And then thirdly is a resource called People Teams.
Okay.
And People Teams is designed to help a group of people in your church who have a heart or burden to reach a particular cross culture, a group that's from a different culture,
mm-hmm.
to reach them with the gospel and start a church among them.
Okay.
So those are three things maybe we can talk about further in
okay.
our next time together.
Okay. And as we close, I just want to make sure if there are pastors out there that want to get in touch with you and have any further discussion on this, they may reach you. How?
I think the best thing would be to email me.
Okay.
At V, as in Victor, Sanders, Sanders, at nam.net.
And is there a website for more information or resources that you could
I would go to Church Planting Village
okay.
off the North American Mission Board website, and
okay.
there you'll see that spectrum, and you'll see other resources
yeah.
related to it.
Churchplantingvillage.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And pastors, if you haven't been to churchplantingvillage.com, it is arguably the most comprehensive church planting website you will find among any evangelical group. So, well, Van, thanks for being with us here today, and we will be together again in part two as we discuss North American People Spectrums.
Thank you, Tim. My pleasure.
For more information about the Acts 1-8 Challenge or to register your church, go to www.acts18.com or call 1-800-4-ACTS-18.